I think I'll be okay, but I'll let you know. Sorry, I don't have a fancy iPad or anything like that where I can just flick through, so I have to use my school laptop. So, the nerd that I am. We had a great day yesterday with the ladies, and yeah, there was so much food. Like, I don't even think we got through like a tenth of what was there. So guess what we're having for morning tea, everybody? Hopefully Katrina managed to bring some along for us. That's okay. We all, that's okay. Share that. Whatever there is, you will get to partake in. I know my kids were very happy to finish off what I brought back anyway. So, yeah. It was great. And I'm sure there'll be some photos in due course. There's a few action shots, you know, when you're starting to eat a eat and a photo gets taken. So it's like, yes. So let me just... I threw Jono a wee spanner at the start, you know, when I arrived. I'm like, oh, by the way, could I have a video? So we'll see if it comes up or not. But anyway, so yes, my name's Catherine, for those that don't know me. Hello. Can you tell I'm stalling? So what's that? I can't see that, Judah. It's okay, don't worry. It was a thumbs up. That's okay. Thank you. Secretary down the front. So this has been a little bit of a long time coming, I could say, speaking on a Sunday morning. I was kind of more than one person was just like, oh, Catherine, you should speak. And I was like, no, thank you. Even though you know that you probably should. Anyway, so... it got me thinking about the story of Jonah and how he was told by God to go and do something, but then he didn't. And it was kind of like what I was feeling a little bit, I don't really want to do that, but now here I am. So a lot of us have grown up going to Sunday school. We've gone... to maybe our parents sent us along so we could learn some good morals, or maybe we came in with our families, maybe we grew up in a church. And so if we've been in that environment, we probably would have learned the story of Jonah at some point. And it's a story that's given to us about being obedient to God. But today, as I was reflecting on it, I was thinking about more there's some extra layers to that story, and I wanted to kind of explore that a bit today. But to get us all up to speed, in case we haven't had that Sunday school experience, we're just going to quickly watch the kids' version of Jonah on a video, okay? So if you... this is it.
shall eat and pray instead? When God saw that everyone in Nineveh was ready to stop doing bad things, he had mercy on them and forgave them. But Jonah wasn't feeling so merciful. In fact, he was angry that God didn't punish the people of Nineveh. But God told Jonah, shouldn't I have concern for the city of Nineveh? It's full of lots of people who need to be rescued. You see, God is compassionate and merciful and kind. He loves us and forgives us when we disobey him. And when we turn away from our own choices and follow God instead, he will always welcome us with open arms. And that's the story of Jonah. So in case you missed it, here's a quick version. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah ran away. Jonah got thrown off the boat. A fish swallowed Jonah. 3 days later, the fish threw Jonah up. Jonah told people to stop being wicked, and they stopped. God had mercy on them. And that's a part of God's story.
Thank you. All right, so the quick version is often what we get at Sunday school, you know, like the glossed over, the version like, Jonah didn't obey, he got swallowed by a whale or a fish, he got spat back out, and then he did what he was supposed to do, and then, you know, all was right. Obviously, Jonah is a prophet in the Old Testament, and it's an interesting book because even though it's like wrapped in those prophetic books, it's actually a book about a prophet rather than a prophecy itself. It's pretty short, 4 chapters long, so you know, if you want a little bit of light reading before you go to bed, you can easily just whip that one out and... But even though it's short, it's got a lot of insight into God's character. So as we saw, Jonah is called by God to go to Nineveh to warn the people to repent from their wickedness. So Nineveh was a large city in the Assyrian Empire. And for a bit of context, it was not a very nice place. It was pretty evil. The Assyrians were known for brutality, maiming their captives, like chopping off their noses and things like that, and extreme violence. And in the book of Nahum, it gives us more insight into the city of Nineveh, and it says they were guilty of evil plots against God, exploitation of the helpless, cruelty and war and idolatry, prostitution and witchcraft. So I can kind of understand why Jonah wasn't super keen to go towards these people. They weren't very friendly. They were kind of the enemies of the Israelites. So instead of heading to Nineveh, and we can see on the map here, so point A is Joppa, where Jonah was supposed to, he got on the ship there. And you can see point B is where he was supposed to go. And in the story, it tells us he went in the opposite direction. And we kind of think like that he just turned and walked like just down the road. But he actually was heading towards Tarshish, which is the western region of the Mediterranean. So we're like talking pretty much as far away as you can try and get. You know, he was really determined not to go to Nineveh. So, And I mean, knowing what the Ninevites were like, I can understand. But yeah, it wasn't just I'm just going to go to Queenstown instead of Gore type of situation. It was, let me go like right across the other side of the world pretty much for that time. So if anyone's travelled over there, you'll know the kind of distance that we're looking at there. All right, so he's on the boat, the storm comes. He eventually confesses and that it's because of him that the storm is there. He goes overboard. The big fish comes him, swallows him for 3 days, yada, yada, yada. All right. So then he realizes he needs to go and do what God has told him to do. And he heads to Nineveh. And once he's there, he preaches to the people who believe God's message and they repent along with the king. But this is where I find that it gets kind of interesting. So like the first part, like the glossed over little kid story is there. But there are some like kind of interesting clues about God in chapter 4. So Jonah gets angry with God for being merciful to the Ninevites. You can put the picture away now, Ezra. Thanks. So remember, Jonah wasn't keen on going to Nineveh because they were so evil. He believed that they deserved God's judgment, and he wanted to see them be destroyed. He was like, they're my enemy. I don't like them. They're mean. They're horrible people. They deserve like what's coming to them, pretty much. He didn't want God to be merciful to them because of their cruelty. And what we learn is that Jonah's disobedience wasn't actually motivated by fear of the Ninevites. It was actually motivated by judgment of them. In Jonah, the end of Jonah 3 and into chapter 4, it says, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I mean, terrible qualities, right? You are eager to turn back from destroying people. So we can see Jonah's attitude, his terrible attitude coming through. And I kind of find it ironic that he was being mad. He was getting mad at God for being God. I was like, kind of random. So Jonah has his wee rant with God, gets kind of annoyed with him. And then God flips it around and teaches Jonah a lesson. So he was feeling a bit like miserable with himself. He was sitting on the outskirts of the city, old Jonah, and he was watching to see what would happen. Is God actually going to destroy these people or not? He was kind of waiting to see, kind of a bit like, yeah, is he really going to save them or is he not? Am I going to get my just desserts or not? And he builds a shelter and he's sitting there. And then God makes a leafy plant to grow beside him and gives him shade. And I thought, I've put a note here, like even when we sulk and are mad at God, he's still kind and merciful to us. Like he provided shade and shelter for Jonah, even when he knew that Jonah's attitude was terrible. And then to teach him the lesson, God sends a worm to eat through the plant and the plant dies. And Jonah gets angry again because he's hot and bothered and he's got no shelter. And then he wishes that he would die. And it's the last two verses of the book of Jonah when God kind of does a bit of a mic drop moment. And he says, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. And a plant is only at best short-lived. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? But that's the end of the book. So it doesn't even like elaborate on it, but that's the finish. He's kind of like putting Jonah in his place and then just being like, what do you got to say about that? And kind of leaves it, right? So we've got a good understanding of the book of Jonah. And I just want to now kind of move forward and parallel the story to another classic Sunday school story, but from the New Testament. And that is of the prodigal son. So if you think about what we've learned about Jonah and what you know of the prodigal son, you might start to pick up what I'm putting down. So unfortunately, you don't get the kids' video version of this one because that will take up too much time. You'll just have to look that up. But if you go to God's story and then put in God's story in the name of a character in the Bible, you will get a good little video for you. So Jesus shared the story of the prodigal son during his ministry time, and he used the illustration to explain to the Pharisees the heart of God. So for us all, it's about a father who had two sons. The second son wanted his inheritance early rather than waiting until his father passed away. So the father did what he asked. He gave it to him. Then the son packed up what he had, went away, and the older son stayed at home and worked in the fields. As we know from those that have gone to Sunday school, the younger son squandered all his money on wild living. And while eating pig slop, he realized that even the servants in his father's house were better off than he was. So he returned home, prepared to be a servant. And as he's walking along the road, his father sees him in the distance and he runs out to meet him. So I think we're in Luke 15 if we're looking for that. In verse 20, it says, Luke 15, 20, so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. So his father then prepares a feast to celebrate the son's return, giving him his ring and finest robe, killing the best lamb, calf, cattle, whatever, having a big celebration. And older son hears the party happening and asks one of the servants what was going on, and he was told that his brother had returned and there's this big celebration to welcome him back. And it doesn't please the brother one bit. So we can kind of see that same attitude of Jonah coming through in the older son's attitude here. He's not pleased because he's stayed working for the father while the younger son just went off and did whatever he liked, wasted all the money, but then is welcomed back and with open arms. But at the end of that story, his father says, "Look, dear son, you and I are very close and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found." And it was funny that, Darren, you said that in our pre-service prayer this morning. It was cool. Because that's all of us here who are Christian, that who have a relationship with God. We were all lost, but now we are found. So I would say that Jonah and the older brother share the same attitude. They both feel that the Ninevites, in Jonah's case, and the younger brother for the older brother, don't deserve God's mercy and forgiveness. Okay? They both judged that the Ninevites and the younger brother. They both thought that they were more deserving because they were right. You know, they had that kind of indignation. Jonah shows us in chapter 1 when the sailors ask him where he's from after the storm starts. And he's like, "Oh, well, thank you for asking. I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." So he was kind of like, "Well, you know, I'm better than you guys because I am one of God's chosen." Okay? He had a bit of a high and mighty attitude. And I think that if Jonah was alive during the New Testament times, then he would probably be amongst the Pharisees kind of group of people. Those ones that were like, "I'm better than everybody. We do everything right and we don't need, yeah." So there's another parable in Matthew 20 that Jesus shares. And that is the parable of the owner of the vineyard and the vineyard workers. So this story, it is about an owner of a vineyard, and he hires workers for the day and agrees to pay them the daily rate. Okay, and then he goes through the marketplace and he notices that there are more people that are not doing anything. And so he invites them to come and work for him in the vineyard. So he does that at 9 o'clock. He does that again at noon at 12 o'clock. He does it again at 3 o'clock. And he does it again at 5 o'clock. And each time he gathers more workers for the vineyard. And at the end of the working day, he gathers all the workers that were there that had come during the day to work for him, and he pays them each a full day's wage. And even those that only started at 5 o'clock or at 12 o'clock, so they all got paid the same amount. And of course, who do you think was not happy about that? the people that had started right at the start of the day, right? So they were like, that's not fair. They were like, why should they get paid the same amount as us? We've been working the whole day in the hot sun. We've been toiling, and you just went and grabbed these other jokers at 5 o'clock and have done like 30 minutes work. I don't know what time they knocked off in biblical times, probably later than 5:30 in the afternoon. They're like, how come they get paid the same as what we're getting paid? We should get paid more, or they should get paid less, type of thing. And Jesus answers them and he says, the owner, the vineyard owner, he answers them and says, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take it and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be angry because I am kind? You know how Jonah was mad at God for being kind to the Ninevites? Same thing. The older brother being mad at his father for being kind to his younger brother. It reflects that same attitude that pops up. Okay? This parable, it teaches us about God's grace and generosity towards each and every one of us. And in reality, none of us deserves God's grace. Like, none of us really should get the full day's wage, really, should we? Why should we begrudge those who turn to God at any stage of their life? Where is our attitude at? Have we become a little bit like the Pharisees? Have we become a little bit like Jonah? Have we become a little bit like the older brother in our attitude? I love how in the book of Jonah, it gives us a glimpse of God's grace for all people. So we know that in the Old Testament, it's about the Israelites, okay? God's chosen people. It tells us that story, how God has called them. And during his ministry, Jesus was speaking predominantly to the Jewish people, right? His ministry was with the Jewish people. But there are echoes of God's ultimate plan when we read Jonah. And so God sent Jonah to the Ninevites, a non-Jewish people. They were not part of God's chosen people. They were separate. So it's kind of interesting because most of the stories in the Old Testament are about God's judgment on the enemies of Israel. And he was going to judge the Ninevites but gave them an opportunity to repent. And so Jonah went to warn of the judgment and declare to the people that they could receive mercy and forgiveness if they were to repent. So why would God do this in the middle of like the Old Testament stories where people groups and were destroyed completely by the Israelites because of their hatred towards them? Why would we then have this story where God actually extends a hand of grace and mercy to them? And I think that it's because it gives us an idea. He kind of like drops a little hint about what God's ultimate plan is for all mankind. So in Romans 3, if we flick back to the New Testament, back and forth a bit, Romans 3, verses 29 and 30 say, after all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Ephesians 3:6 says, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both of them are of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. So we can clearly see that God wants all people to be reconciled to him. And this is evident back in Jonah's day, just as much as it is in the New Testament. Yeah. In Ephesians 2:19-22, it says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." And in Galatians 3:26-28 says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So, hopefully, by now, if you've followed my ramblings and have picked up what I put down. So what's our response to these things? We have all been called to tell others about God and salvation through Jesus Christ. We aren't called to gatekeep God like Jonah. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to share God's mercy. He wanted to kind of keep it for himself and be like, well, I deserve it. I'm better. I'm a Hebrew. They're not. Look at what they do, you know. It's kind of can become a bit of our own attitude, you know. We're not called to hold on to God for ourselves. And nor are we called to judge others and decide whether they are deserving of salvation. Because we're not deserving of it. Like, we haven't done anything. It's God's grace and mercy that's actually saved us. It's nothing that we have done or can ever do that that gives us. We can't earn our way into heaven. If God is calling us to go and share, then who are we to throw a temper tantrum like Jonah and run in the other direction? Let's not be disobedient to what God is asking us to do because we're judging others. Well, don't be disobedient at all, to be fair. Romans 10:8-15 says, so first of all, it quotes a part from Deuteronomy. It says, "This message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him?" So this is where we actually have to, you know, put a bit of effort in ourselves. "And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." So like, it's all nice at the start. Yes, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's good to believe, isn't it? It's good to know. But that follows up with actually there's some action that we need to do. And it outlines that. So you might say, well, I've never been sent. No one's sent me to be a messenger of the good news. Well, never fear, everybody. Here is the verse for you. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. To the disciples, the followers of Jesus. So if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you are one of his disciples. This is for you, for me, for us all. Therefore, go, kind of, there you go, that's the sent part. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So while I probably was doom scrolling, let's be fair, I was scrolling through Facebook or something the other day and a statistic popped up. So I took a screenshot because I was like, oh, that could be handy. I'll put that in my message. So it was from the North American Mission Board. I have no idea where they've got their statistics from. This was just what they've come up. But even if there's like a little bit of truth in it, I think we can take this. So it said less than 30% of North Americans say a Christian has ever shared the gospel with them. Less than 30%. So that's quite a sobering thought, because North America, like, well, that's like in God we trust. Like, you know, they are the ones that are always, you know, bless God, praise God. At the music awards, they're like, first and foremost, I want to thank God. You know, it's like you would kind of assume that more than that would have heard, you know, like this is interesting. You know, we kind of assume that these Western countries that have had missionaries go to them, have had like long established churches and things like that, would have that more people would have heard the gospel. But that's not the case. And we could probably think about people that we know, situations that we're in, people we come across, and you kind of like, oh, you know, Noah's Ark. And they're like, blank stare. Oh, Jonah and the whale. Blank stare. Like, you know those like classic Sunday school stories and passages that, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. No, but people don't actually necessarily have that foundation. They don't actually necessarily know that. So we can't assume that they have actually heard the gospel. We can't really get caught up in the thought like, oh, well, they've had their chance. Like, are they sitting here in church today? Are they sitting in another church here in the world or in the city in New Zealand? If they're not sitting in church and they don't have a relationship with God, then they need another chance. Yeah? If they're not in church or in a relationship with God, then they're on God's heart. We remember that Jesus turned back from the 99 lambs to save the one. Okay? So we can't assume that the person next door has heard. Maybe they need another chance. Maybe God's knocking on their door and they need you to actually share something with them. So this morning, I just want to encourage us to reflect and take time to consider what our attitude might be, first and foremost. Are we a bit like Jonah? Are we a bit like the Pharisees? Are we a bit like the older brother or the workers from the vineyard? Do we need an attitude adjustment? And then also, who is on your heart? Who has God placed on your heart? Who are we praying for? Who are we inviting to church or to an event? Or who are we making community with and connecting with? And who are we bringing the message of salvation to in our lives? So, that's all I've got to share. But yeah, I don't know, I was really, when I was reading through Jonah, and I was like, yeah, that's so cool how God just drops that little thought about, hey, I'm not just for God's chosen people. I'm not just for the Jews, I'm for the Gentiles too. And the New Testament reflects that, you know. And yeah, we are called. Not everybody has heard. We can't make that assumption. And I sure as hope we don't judge others either and think, well, they're not deserving of it, because we all are. Yeah, so.
Awesome. Thanks, Catherine. As you're preaching, I was wondering,